Afraid of a Woman, Chapter 87, 1 Kings 19. Every Israelite and all the inhabitants of Jezreel are glad. It is no wonder. It finally has rained. The withered leaves on the trees again look fresh and green. The earth is soaking wet. The farmers again can plow and sow. They will have bread. When the harvest time comes and the grain is gathered into the barns, the famine will be past. For this reason, the Israelites look merry and cheerful. However, there is one who is not glad, a woman. She is Jezebel, the queen. With an angry face, she walks through her palace. She clenches her fists. Her eyes spark viciously. She hisses threateningly through her teeth. He will know of this. I shall get even with him. How did he have the courage to do it? All the court attendants are afraid of her. She speaks angrily to every one of them. Why is she so angry? When Ahab had come home, he had told her everything that had happened. When she hears Elijah had killed the 450 priests of Baal, she stamps her feet in malice. Did you permit him to kill those priests? She roared, flushed with rage. And she continued furiously, just wait, tomorrow I shall have him slain. She calls a servant and wrathfully commands, go immediately to Elijah and assure him he shall be slain tomorrow. The messenger bows and disappears. A lonesome man is walking through the extensive hot wilderness which lies to the south of the land of Canaan. It is the same wilderness through which the Israelites had journeyed when they traveled from Egypt to Canaan. He continues to walk onward still deeper into this wilderness. This man is Elijah. He had received the message of Jezebel, and he became discouraged and afraid. He fears for his life. Come on, Elijah, be wiser. Surely you are not afraid of a woman, are you? You were not afraid on Carmel. And are you afraid now? God still is alive, isn't he? Alas, at this moment Elijah is so dejected, he flees. He leaves Jezreel in haste, comes to the border of Israel and Judah, crosses the border, walks across the land of Judah, and now is wandering alone through the great big wilderness. He left his servant in Beersheba. Hour after hour he walks onward. It is very warm. He is getting tired. He sees a juniper tree. This tree gives a little shade. He lays under it. Lord, he says sorrowfully and despondingly, let me die here. I had hoped that my nation now would worship thee. I had thought that they would break to pieces the idols of Baal. But this has not happened. Jezebel will see to that. Everything that I do is unprofitable. It is to no purpose. Let me die, Lord. Let me die. At last he falls asleep from fatigue and sorrow. Suddenly he is made awake. By whom? Can you guess? An angel made him awake. Elijah thinks he is alone, but he is mistaken. The Lord knows what is going on in the heart of his servant. The Lord shall encourage him to continue to live. God sends an angel to him. Arise and eat, this heavenly messenger says to him. Close to his head he sees bread and water. How did it get there? Well, children, the Lord took care of that. Elijah ate and drank, and he again falls asleep. But the angel awakens him a second time. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Elijah obeys again, and he eats and drinks once more. He then stands up and walks too. Do you still remember that God gave Israel the law on Mount Sinai? This had happened when the Israelites had journeyed from Egypt to Canaan. This mount also is called Horeb. When we again find Elijah, he is at this mount. He surely is far from home. Without eating or drinking, he had walked this long, long distance. He journeyed straight across this burning hot wilderness. God blessed the food which he had received in the wilderness from the angel. Therefore, he had no need of food during this time. For 40 days, he did not eat any food. When he finally came to Mount Horeb, he enters a cave and once more falls asleep. Most likely the same night, the Lord spoke to him, saying, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" It is as though the Lord said, "What are you doing in this desolate, lonesome place, Elijah?" The Lord did not scold him. Oh, no. He asks him what really made him go to this Mount Horeb. What answer must Elijah give to this question? The Lord did not send him to this place. Besides, there is no work for him to do there. He ran away, so far simply because of despondency. He honestly tells the Lord what the real reason is. Listen. "I have done my very best, Lord," he says. "I have been very zealous, but the children of Israel will not listen. They will no longer serve thee. They honor and worship the idols. They have broken and thrown down thine altars. They have killed thine prophets. And there is no longer anyone who worships or fears thee. I alone am left, and now they also seek my life to take it away." He tells the Lord all his sorrow and his misery. "Go outside," the Lord said. Elijah obeys the Lord. Suddenly it begins to storm violently. The wind blows and howls around the top of the mountain. Large pieces of stone rip loose from the cliffs and tumble down with a roar. One's life would be in peril. But the storm subsides and the wind ceases. All at once, the ground begins to shake and tremble, and the cliffs rend with a deafening noise. A violent earthquake makes the entire mountain shake and vibrate. The Lord is neither in the storm nor in the earthquake. Elijah does not hear the voice of the Lord in these things. Suddenly, a violent thunderstorm breaks loose. Loud claps of thunder rattle through the mountains, and flashes of lightning shoot upon the ground. It is like a sea of fire. But the Lord is not in the fire. When the thunderstorm ceases, it becomes quiet, very quiet. The wind blows softly. The Lord comes in this silence. He again asks Elijah what he really was doing there. Elijah again tells the Lord all his troubles and sorrows. He tells for the second time that the children of Israel did not want to worship the Lord, that they had killed the prophets of the Lord, that he is the only one left, and that they also want to kill him. The same sorrow still fills his heart. Neither does the Lord become angry with him this time. No, the Lord shall encourage his servant. Listen to what the Lord says. "You must return to your land, Elijah, because I have a great deal of work for you to do. You must anoint a new king over Syria. But you also must anoint another king over Israel. Besides this, you must anoint Elisha to be a prophet, who later shall succeed you and continue in your work. Children, Elijah had thought the punishment of the drought would have been sufficient to cause the children of Israel to return to the Lord. But he is mistaken. More punishments must follow. Enemies shall lay waste and destroy the land of Israel. And then, and only then, the Israelites shall acknowledge that the Lord is God. The Israelites shall return unto the Lord in God's time, not when Elijah thinks it is time. The terrible storm, the earthquake, and the fire all occurred after each other to teach Elijah that the Lord was not in these boisterous things. After this, a still small voice came, and in this way the Lord was pleased to come. Israel would never return, not even after the greatest punishments, because the Lord did not come with them. But after these great punishments, the Lord will remember Israel. Besides this, Elijah thought that he was the only one who was left, who did not worship Baal. No, the Lord says, Elijah, you are not alone. There still are 7,000 Israelites who have never bent their knees to Baal. Elijah was surprised to hear this. He never expected that. Elijah only looked at the outward appearance, but the Lord knows the hearts. The Lord knows what is in the heart of everyone. Elijah leaves Mount Horeb again. His sorrow is gone, and again he received courage and strength to continue to live. Now he is no longer afraid of Jezebel. God shall keep him. He has received more work, and his labors are not in vain. Another shall be his successor, and in God's time it will bring forth fruit. With these thoughts, he returns to his own country and people. A great deal of activity is going on in the fields of Canaan. Everywhere the farmers are plowing, for the ground is again soft and mellow from the rain. The pastures are beginning to turn green. This is a great blessing after such a long drought. You can be assured that the farmers and their servants often spoke with each other about what had taken place on Mount Carmel. They speak about Elijah in every village and in every city. However, they dare not openly break down the images and altars of Baal, because they are afraid of Jezebel's wrath. But neither will most of them mock with Elijah or with the Lord. A young farmer is industriously working in one of these fields. He is plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. A man clothed in a camel's hair mantle walks on the road which runs along this farmer's land. He is Elijah, who has returned from Mount Horeb. Look, Elijah walks through this field toward this young farmer who is working there. He takes off his mantle and throws it over the shoulders of this young Israelite. Who is he? This young man is Elisha. Why does Elijah cast his mantle over Elisha? What does that signify? Children, by this sign Elijah would show that Elisha is to become his successor as a prophet. Thus Elisha is hereby called to the office of a prophet. Elisha immediately understands what Elijah meant with this action. It is good, he says. I shall follow you. May I say goodbye to my parents? Elijah immediately grants him his request. Elisha goes to his home, kills 2 oxen, and prepares a farewell dinner for his friends and acquaintances. He kisses his father and mother goodbye and follows Elijah. From now on, he will accompany Elijah wherever he goes.